We're going to start first with Mayor Bob Foster from the city of Long Beach. Welcome, Bob. And we'd like you to kind of talk about the implications of Proposition 1B for the city of Long Beach. Welcome, Bob.
Thanks, Senator. It's a pleasure to be here. Actually, I was speaking with Ray Holdsworth up here by the mic, and it was live, so I probably already gave my testimony. Maybe I don't have to do it anymore.
Next speaker will be Will Kempton.
We were talking about these very issues, and it's a delight to be here. I represent a city that is both benefited and impacted by the Port of Long Beach and the Port of Los Angeles. When I speak, I'll generally combine those two ports. As you know, the economic effect of those ports is substantial. It's important for jobs. It's important for commerce. But as you also know, the environmental impact of those ports on the residents and the congestion associated with it is substantial. In fact, the ports combined are actually the largest source of air pollution in Southern California. What I'm basically going to say today, and I think I'll start with the proposition. First of all, I think the infrastructure money in 1B is vital to California. But I do want to say a key provision of 1B is that the dollars are subject to the appropriation by the legislature and conditions and criteria that the legislature may provide by statute. And I want to start with that because I think that's important. My basic position is this, that the ports are in a situation where they're rapidly growing. That growth is important, but along with it, the environmental effects of the port have to be substantially ameliorated and cleaned up. And there needs to be a parallel program along with infrastructure improvement to improve the environment. That parallel program needs to be consistent. It needs to be well-funded by a funding source that is sustainable, it's durable, and it's reliable. And that program needs to run in parallel, and I would link those two. My view is that, in fact, if you go forward with infrastructure improvements without the commitment, the solid commitment, and the funds behind environmental improvement, you won't get very much of the latter. And I would give you a review the today's editorial in the Sacramento Bee. And I reference it not simply because I was quoted in it, although that was very nice. It really does lay out the proposition that I just presented. It calls much of what's in the bond program a faith-based program for infrastructure and environmental improvement. And what it says, in effect, is that you can't count on the private sector coming to the table after they get what they want on infrastructure improvement. But there has to be a commitment to do that, in my view, simultaneously, and I think in their view. So I would submit that for your review. We all know that the ports are a fabulous economic engine. They're essential for many jobs, many good-paying jobs with benefits in Southern California. There are not only direct jobs, there are collateral second and third effect jobs, that a multiplier effect that is vital for Southern California. It's vital for commerce, and it is, in fact, a national asset. The rapid growth of the ports, we all know what's predicted. Both ports today handle approximately 15 million 20-foot equivalents. By 2020, that's expected to increase to 34 million. And the truth is that puts a strain on infrastructure. That puts a strain on the environment. In fact, I don't think without infrastructure and environmental improvement, that growth is simply not sustainable. So it is important that we do this, and it's important that we do this right. For the Long Beach area, the infrastructure projects that are of vital importance are the Gerald Desmond Bridge, reconstruction and enhancement of SR 47, the Terminal Island Freeway, and Alameda Street. Now, you'll hear a lot of people talk about those projects and about the need to put them on a high priority list, and I agree. They need to be on a high priority list. But the fact is, and you'll also hear that those have some environmental enhancements because, you know, you won't have trucks idling. The trucks will be moving rather than idling, and that's a benefit for the environment. But the fact is there'll be twice as many trucks. And, you know, 10 years from now or 15 years from now, we may have twice as many trucks idling. So when and you look at the costs in terms of health impacts, the dollar value of the health impacts to the environment, I'd submit read the Air Resources Board report on port pollution. I know, Senator, that Mr. Chairman, you've done that. But you have an annual cost right now from a variety of things. You have premature deaths. You have hospital admissions. You have asthma cases. You have lost days at work and minor restricted activity from that, and school absence days. When you put all that together, you're looking at a range of $6 to $37 billion with a B, annual cost to the residents of Southern California. And that's a substantial impact, and I want to make it clear. Those costs are in the system now. So when someone tells you that, you know, the cleanups are expensive and the infrastructure is expensive, we're paying those costs right now, only somebody else, the wrong people, are paying them. Now, the quote I had in the Sacramento Bee, which is actually from a press conference, Senator, that you attended, on SB 927, was that we're having children in Long Beach contract asthma so that someone in Nebraska or Kansas can get a cheaper television set. And I think that frames the issue pretty accurately. Now, the key point I want to make, again, is that Prop 1B puts in the power of the legislature to condition the use of those funds. Now, it's important that we take that seriously, because I do believe if you sequence the efforts, if you do this in series, and you say, look, it's vital we improve the infrastructure, it's vital we increase throughput through the ports, vital we move up the speed of the goods movement, I think it's doubtful you'll get the kind of environmental cleanup that's necessary. And we all know what that's from. Number one is diesel trucks. And the particulate matter in particular is a real concern to the residents of Long Beach, particularly with asthma and respiratory diseases that are occurring in Long Beach. Then you have the ships. And, in fact, if you clean up the trucks, I think sometime out in the future, it's like 8 or 10 years, that line crosses, that the ships become the large source. I mean, the ships are the largest source of uncontrolled pollution in Southern California, and it's almost amazing that we allow ships to use bunker fuel to transport, come across the ocean, and then idle or hotel in the port using that same fuel. It's the dirtiest fuel around. So it's high sulfur, it's a very dirty, high particulate fuel, and it's almost unconscionable that you have those ships uncontrolled. And I realize that's not necessarily a state issue. That federal government bears a lot of responsibility for that. But the truth is, it has to be taken care of. These are, as I said, national assets. We all know about the Marpole 6 Treaty and things that could be done in that regard. And we're just going to have to deal with it. And then finally, you have port handling facilities. Now, I also want to indicate that certainly the Port of Long Beach has done a terrific job in moving in the right direction on environmental cleanup. The Green Port policy is a major step forward. I want to applaud them for that. But the truth is, it is a significant but not adequate amount of resources to do what's necessary. And, in fact, we need to be able to figure out how to put the jurisdictional problems between the state, federal, and port together so we solve this problem. So, in essence, what I'm saying is that I believe that we should not spend any of these dollars unless they're tied, as I said, to a simultaneous, consistent, well-funded, durable program to clean up the environment. Now, I can go into a lot of ways in which that can be done with diesel trucks. Just the other day, the port indicated that they saw a presentation on catalytic converter-type equipment on post-94 diesel trucks that brings them up to 2004 standards for NOx and 2003 standards for NOx, 2005 standards for particulates. The technology is there. What we need is we need the will and we need the resources to be able to use this wisely. I will tell you that in essence, there are two funding sources for to clean up the port when you think of this logically. First, there's the federal government, and in my judgment, the federal government has abdicated its responsibility both in terms of security, the environment, and in traffic congestion and infrastructure for the ports and related facilities. I don't hold out a whole lot of hope that the federal government will somehow have a collective epiphany and decide to take this responsibility seriously. These are national assets. They ought to be dealt with at the national level, and there ought to be a funding source that's sustainable and durable at the federal level to clean this up, to protect us, to relieve congestion, and to clean up the environment. Failing that, and I do believe it has failed, you have to basically put this on the beneficiaries of the goods sold. Economists will tell you that this cleanup cost, since it's already in the system and the wrong people are paying for it, really ought to be attached to the cost of goods sold. I know, Senator, that your 927 moved in that direction. There may be a variety of ways of getting a durable, sustainable funding source that really is associated with goods movement through the port. I don't have a monopoly on those ideas, and I know you don't think you do as well, but it has to be done. Having Californians go into debt, and I applaud the bonds, but I will tell you, having Californians go into debt to clean up something that really ought to be part of the cost of goods sold is really inappropriate. And your comment about a down payment, that's all it should be, and it ought to be tied to improvement programs. So I will just close. I think the point has been made. I again urge you to get a hold of the Sacramento Bee editorial. It does talk about SB 927.
Mm-hmm.
It also talks about the issue of doing one thing. If you provide the infrastructure improvements and increase goods flow without the parallel commitment, the durable and sustainable commitment to clean the environment, I think you will do a disservice to the latter. And I pledge to you to do all I can to be able to make sure that happens. I'll help you in any way I can. And I know that Mr. Stankey's here. You'll hear from him later from the Port of Long Beach. Again, I want to tell you that these are good people, smart people, people who want to do the right thing. We're going to have to assemble the resources and the jurisdictional infrastructure ourselves to be able to solve this. We're going to have to do this here. It's not going to be done by the federal government.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll just make although I usually refrain from making comments and just ask questions, I do think that you've laid out what is in part the critical issue that, and as you pointed out, today's Sacramento Bee did talk about that voters, while supporting the bonds, just as you have, voters alone cannot pay for all of this port cleanup, and that the money in the bond, which we'll talk about it for infrastructure, while a down payment and already talking about emphasizing pollution reduction and also the $1 billion for air emission reductions related to goods movement are great first steps. We now know that the scope of the problem is so great and of such a magnitude that we can't even get to reaching clean air attainment, federal clean air attainment standards, unless we start to put significant resources up front right now to reach by 2010, and then to move forward to really reaching, making sure that we're just talking about, as you pointed out, replacing, not even the trucks that are pre-1994, and as the ARB has already estimated, and replacing and retrofitting those trucks that can be retrofitted is really just the low-hanging fruit, and that's almost $300 million alone in our port complex. And then to really bring them up to 2,000 to buy new trucks, to bring them up ultimately by 2020 to 2,000, and as the ARB would like it, to new federal standards, 2007 or 2010 federal standard, is going to take right up front, just on the truck alone, a tremendous infusion of money, and there is no money. The port, there's not this money in the bonds. And so I think you raise a very cautionary note that when the legislature is writing both the criteria and for these and the considerations that need to be addressed, that what you're saying is that any funding has to be have both air actually any infrastructure funding has to have the same kind of funding for air quality that reduces the emissions, that reduces the pollution, or else we're kidding the public. The growth will overwhelm us and we will just see more infrastructure but more pollution at the same time. We will be just not really addressing the complexity of the problem, but really just trying to kind of keep it somewhat under control, but it's already out of control. We know that we have over 1,200 deaths in this region alone annually due to pulmonary disorders that are due to particulate matter that's primarily due to older diesel. And we have to fix that. We have a responsibility to the public health of our communities to fix that. And this is one opportunity to make sure that as we move forward that we don't that it's a two-prong or multi-prong attack, that it's not just building the infrastructure. Right up at the front end, we have to have that commitment of resources, real resources, to reduce the pollution, or else we have to make some serious serious decisions about whether we go forward with this funding.
I couldn't agree more, Senator. I look at this in a very common-sense way, and I want to applaud the legislature for its foresight in putting that provision in. That you can condition this, you can put criteria, and I think that's essential. I will also tell you, commonsensically, I have a business background. I'm actually both public sector and business. Actually, I've had a weird career, but we put that aside. Common sense will tell you you're in a contractual negotiation, and view this as a contractual negotiation. I think that's the way you should look at it. Would you provide the number one item on the other party's wish list without making sure that your number one item is also satisfied? And no one in business would do that. These are commercial entities. They operate off of self-interest. Some of them are very good corporate citizens. I applaud them for a lot of the community work they do, and in some cases, the voluntary environmental actions they take. But they are at rock bottom commercial interests. And if they could find someone else to pay for items that, in fact, they ought to contribute to, they will do so. They're not bad. They're not bad people. It's just human nature. So the responsibility of the public here is to make sure that the public health is protected. That's the first job of government, is to keep people safe. That's what this is about. This is no different than putting police on the street. It is a public health issue. And that's why I think before any dollars are expended on infrastructure improvement, needed infrastructure improvement, badly needed infrastructure improvement, got to make sure that not that these projects themselves have to be environmental enhancements, but there has to be a parallel program tied to it that you and other policymakers will feel comfortable that it is durable and sustainable to clean up the environment. This is a matter of will, and there will be times in which all of us will be tested, because there'll be a lot of pressure to get those infrastructure projects built. I believe I know enough about human conduct that, in fact, if you do that, that's done, not you, if we do that, without a parallel program that we know is reliable, we'll get far less in the way of environmental cleanup, and we'll have a much larger problem 10 and 15 years from now.
Thank you, Mr. Mayo.
It's my pleasure, Mr. Chairman.